knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, September 27th, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. And now I welcome back the Watchman for Part 3 of The Love of God.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
Now, we're in 1 John 4:4. Now, John is really beginning to deal with the false prophets, false spirits. And, of course, one of the biggest false spirits that there is the spirit of Antichrist. Because that's a denier that Christ was divinity and is divinity, that he is the Son of God, that he was sent specifically to redeem us. And that's one of the biggest spirits there are. And that spirit is going to be very much alive and well in the last days. And it's going to lead to the coming of the Son of Perdition, which is not known as the Antichrist, but that spirit of Antichrist is within him. And it'll be in society. And that's one of the reasons he'll be able to show up, is because this large spirit of Antichrist is going to be pervasive throughout society. And, of course, in a lot of nations, they already have a pervasive spirit of Antichrist. That's why the Christians are being persecuted the way they are, facing death and in prison. So, you know, the Son of Perdition is a name given to this particular Dark One at that time for what he does. The Son of Perdition, or the Destroyer. He is going to be leading people into that destruction. They will believe him. And that comes from the fact that in 2 Thessalonians 2, God says that I'm going to send them a delusion that they should believe a lie. And that follows with what the Old Testament says too. It says, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. Now see, to the pastor that teaches you openly not to quote or do have anything to do with the Old Testament, I'm telling you, that's one of the worst things you could do. Because we confirm what the apostles teach by what we find in the Old Testament, because it's there. That's the very book that the Lord read and taught out of. That is what the apostles taught out of. And that's another, a spirit of deception and a spirit of religion. And that's what causes that. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth him. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not of us, not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there you got. There's two more spirits that he talks about. The spirit of truth comes through the word of God, through the spirit of God, and comes from the Father, given to us as his believers. And the spirit of error doesn't receive that. And there's a lot of spirit of error. Now see, Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, following that particular verse, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. See, the Antichrist has no power over us if we've got Christ. These spirits, we're not subject to them. We're subject to Christ, for Christ is in us. His spirit and anointing is in us. We are of God through his Son. And because we have received the Son, the Father is already in the Son. Therefore, the Father and the Son are in us, and we are in them. And see, when you understand the fact that on the cross, he triumphed openly over all principalities and powers, making a show of them openly, before the cross and after the cross. And his victory is our victory. And because he's in us, we've overcome them. Now, the only way that you can get caught is if you openly and willingly allow yourself to go into this and to be deceived. But you have overcome them, and you do not need their teaching. You need the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God. And that's the kind of preacher you need to find. I'll tell you, God's going to remove some of these. He already... Oh, boy. It's one of those things. And he will find shepherds that are after his own heart. He will put them over these. But see, when you deal with a society that rejects God, then he will choose their delusions and bring their own fears upon them. But see, John is trying to tell him, you don't have to fear the spirits. You don't need to fear Antichrist. You don't need to fear, because Christ overcame them, and he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter what is in the world, the devil, his angels, the nastiest person on earth? No, you don't have nothing to fear. Even serial killers, and you see them on the movies, you know, they love to do all these Freddy Krueger movies and other things. And during Halloween, they like to dress all their kids up in little devils and stuff. We do not fear. Fear is of the devil, and the devil uses it to hinder you. You can rebuke, you can bind, you can stand up. Now see, that's another thing. You know, I just don't go looking for trouble. There are places that there are very strong demonic spirits and strongholds. And you have no business messing around in those. Now see, but see, we are a culture, like we have the ghost hunters. You really think they're dealing with ghosts? You know, if some of these guys ever did see some of these beings on the other side, they would have to change their undershorts real quick, and they would run real fast. You don't go looking for trouble. But if we're called, that's when you fast and you pray for that anointing and get the spiritual side of the Lord. That's what you need, that anointing, that power. You don't go powerless. You just don't wander in there challenging these things. You can't do anything in yourself. And you may be a Christian, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But I got news for you, Christian. You need to seek him. You need to be found in him. You need to have a spirit. You need to have his anointing. You need him. Because he says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. I could tell you some stories here, but I'm not going to. But I can tell you, I know of a person who was standing in his kitchen. And as he stood there, an entity appeared behind him and said, "I'm going to kill you." That person never did look around. And he said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ." And the thing left. And he lived happily ever after. It's in the name, it's in the faith, it's in the knowing of the Son of God. Even in those regions that are anti-Christ, they have religion. And in these areas, we can say the Middle East, we can say Pakistan, we can say a lot of other places where we know Christian persecution is really heavy, but we also report direct from the sources who tell us of the things that are happening over there, and miracles and signs and wonders. And we read you about that the other night from one of the heads of the ministries that we quote from, that we tell you about. There are lots and lots and lots of Muslims coming to Christ. And they're not the only ones. So verse 4, 1 John 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and error." Now, what I want to let you know here, if you don't remember, Paul talked about this. He talked about the fact that their message, the words they speak of Christ, to some is an aroma of death, and to others it's aroma of life. It was an aroma of death to those who did not believe, and to those who believe, there's an aroma of life. See, for those of us who are saved, we hear the gospel and the things in it and people getting saved and, you know, we know the presence of his spirit. It's an aroma of life. We know what it is. But see, if you go on over in the Hindu territories, you go over in the Muslim territories, you go over in Erdogan's backyard, you go over in Iran's backyard, you go over in Pakistan's backyard, you go over in India's backyard, you go in Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and some of these others. You know, if you go into Afghanistan as well, you get into Nigeria where the Fulani and Boko Haram are going. You get into Kenya. Christianity, to many, is an aroma of death. They hate it. They fear it. And they can't explain away the miracles. What do you say when you see miracles like the Lord did? The Jews could say nothing. Oh, that the whole world is going after him. They were worried that they wouldn't have a temple, that they would lose their position, that the Romans would come and take it all away. Because here you have this Jewish rabbi, and he's not even a Levite. See, he wasn't made a minister after the flesh. That's a Levite. He was made a minister of Almighty God because God appointed him, and he's after the Spirit of God, using the Spirit of God. He is of God, for he is the Son of God. And they didn't have any way to explain it. What do you say when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Everybody said, "Praise the Lord." He says, Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why he raised Lazarus from the dead, to show people he's more than just a rabbi. He's the Son of Almighty God, and he has the power to give people eternal life and the power to judge them and send them to hell. He is the Almighty. He is the Yea and the Nay. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the only begotten Son of our God and our Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and that promise that God gave to Abraham flowed, a prophetic river of blood. We call it the crimson line of redemption through Isaac. And the Arabs and Islam came through Ishmael. One of the flesh, one of the spirit. You can take this even further. You can go back to Cain and Abel. Cain was of the flesh, Abel was of the spirit. Cain got jealous of Abel and slew him. After all, it was Abel's fault because he gave such a good sacrifice to the Lord. How dare he? If he hadn't have provoked Cain, Cain wouldn't have killed him. See, and even today we have people, well, if you hadn't have made me mad, I wouldn't have done it. We're real good at that. So remember who knows God. Look in the mirror. You're truly born again and saved, and you know him. Maybe you need to remind yourself, I know God. I know the truth. Let that aroma of life flow out of you. Let the love flow out of you. Let the compassion flow out of you. And let the belief in miracles and signs and wonders in the God that confirms his word with the word of God, let that come out of you too. I believe. Now, I used to sing this song in Methodist MYF camp. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. That's how we learn Scripture. Dear God in heaven. I went back to the Methodist church after God got me out of it and saved me and talked to the high mucky muck dude that has all the doctorates, and he was the leader of the church, the preacher dude. And I talked to him about being born again, and he hadn't the foggiest idea what I was talking about. I said, you need to be saved. He says, are you saved? I said, yeah, I'm saved. He didn't know what salvation was. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know where he went. I didn't know him. I was just there one day, and I don't go home much. And so when I went there, I thought, well, I'm going to go see if he's around. I want to talk to him because I was still in Bible school at the time. He didn't know what being born again was anyway. He didn't really believe that, you know, well, I'm saved. I know in who I believe. He didn't believe that part either. So just because it has a doctorate at the end of it doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Remember, even if they know, for instance, all the languages, you know, well, I know Greek, I know Aramaic, I know this, Hebrew, yada, yada, yada. Well, I got news for you. The high priest, all of his mucky mucks, even Paul, who was second to none, learning under Gamaliel, knew the languages. They knew the Hebrew, they knew the Greek, they knew all of it. And guess what? They did not recognize the Son of God. You do not recognize the Son of God because you know Hebrew, because you know any of it, or even because you know English. You know him because of the Spirit of God which drew you, and God revealed it to you and opened your heart up. It's not by chance. So that's how you love God. And that was the message that John wants to get across to them. Because they did, after all, live in the Roman Empire. And it was full of pagan worship, immorality, drunkenness. And everybody had their religion. They all had different kinds of idols and everything else. Ephesians, they had the goddess Diana. And if you don't love, you don't know God. And John says, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now see, that is the love of the truth mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2. That Paul is warning society will reject the love of the truth. The manifestation of the love of God towards humanity in that he sent his only begotten Son into that world to die for our sins, becoming literal sin for us that we might live through him. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It makes you think that the people he was writing to had trouble with, well, I believe he's the Son of God, but they had trouble with the love part of that. And you see, in America, we do have that problem. We do. Okay? We do. And that's been one of my biggest concerns about America. And frankly, about all of us. Look how we were raised. Americans, you know, we... life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know. We had Christianity, and we had all these churches, and even a lot of our educational institutions, Harvard, Yale, a lot of the others, began as religious institutions in the beginning. our school system used Bibles to teach the kids to read. The pioneers, if they needed something to read, almost all of them had a Bible to take with them. This is where we look at the Geneva edition, and there are others. But you see, that's what they did. And it was a basic faith back then. A lot of revelation hadn't come out yet. But see, today, oh man, you can look at our society, and we love our things, we love our technology. And everybody has a radio show. Everybody is some kind of somebody that has something, and everybody has a website. And dear God, when I was following this thing today off and on the Twitter feed, I've got 3 Twitter feeds that I watch, and they go by pretty fast. But then on the trend, I hit the Kavanaugh hearings, and my Twitter feed wouldn't stop. I mean, I couldn't even read them. They were going by so fast. You know? It's like when I'm, you know, go hunting and I'm out and I find a herd of antelope. Before you can even lift up the rifle, they run out of range. I mean, this Twitter feed was just blazing hot. And a little note popped up. You know, refine your search. It'll help you a little bit. Well, I wasn't going to refine it. I just wanted to look and see what I could see. Well, I couldn't see nothing because it was blindingly fast. And I've seen that happen on Twitter before. It's just absolutely amazing. Everybody tweets at the same time, and it's just like a blur. I mean, it doesn't even slow down. It's just like, dear God in heaven, is that all we do today? You know, it used to be 140 words that we could do. Now it's like 280, 260, whatever it is. And... God, they never stop. And I don't think anybody even stops to read much. They just tweet and go on, you know. But at any rate, you know, that's the situation. We have this lifestyle in here and our internet and the way we live, we become so independent. You know, there's not that concern. There's not that love. There's not that compassion. There's no civility. You look on TV, we don't have civility. Civility even on the street doesn't exist. Nobody cares anymore. They're all self-centered. You know, Paul goes through all that. And the one that's supposed to be different are Christians. But how many times have I seen a Christian that's wounded and the church ran him over? I'll tell you, a lot of times, and I can tell you, even leaders, big leaders, who I talk to, at one time in my life, I didn't get no compassion. There was no trying to heal nothing. There was just like, okay, he's down now. Give me the knife. I'm going to operate. No, we're not going to give him any painkillers. We're just going to do it. And so they begin stabbing away to remove everything. Where's the love? I mean to tell you, folks, John here is hitting on love, and I see America and the American churches especially. And I can name a few deacons in there and a pastor or two. And I know, I've been there. There was a time. But see, the great thing about God's love, and this is mystifying, God loves us. You know, I think, why do you love us? Why'd you send your son? I mean, he's God. What was it? Well, just destroy them all and start over. You know, God actually did tell that to Moses when he's dealing with him. He says, I'm just going to destroy them all, and I'll raise out of you a nation. And God couldn't have done that. And Moses told him, no, don't do that. They'll say that you brought him out here to kill him. So God repented. And, you know, thank God that Moses had fasted for 40 days. He wouldn't have had no anointing and power to stand up to God. And he just told him. You know, he knew him face to face. I mean, how would you like to know God face to face? And then there's things out, come to think of God face to face. Do you know this new movie, this new thing on CBS? Facebook God. This guy doesn't believe in God, but God friends him on Facebook. And that's the whole premise of the story. God is on Facebook. So God has an account on Facebook. Now, of course, I don't think that the people that run Facebook know that. But at any rate, you know, and this is what we do. You know, is that, what's that about? Well, it's about doing away with the Son of God. That's what that's about. You see, it's not about repentance. It's about goody two-shoes, feeling good. God decides to like you or friend you on Facebook. Then he sends you little messages whenever someone needs help. No repentance. No nothing. Just, you know, see, and this is the way the world does it. I got news for you. While we say Christianity is free, it's not free. And there's Christians that are paying their life for it. I can tell you that it's not free for them. Asa Bibi, wife and kids, she was working in the fields. Of course, there was Muslim women there. She needed a drink. She went over and got a drink. Come to find out that the Muslim women didn't like her drinking out of that. They called her unclean. And she said something to the effect that my Jesus died for me on the cross. What did Muhammad do for you? And that just, from there, it went downhill. She wound up in prison with a death sentence hanging over her head. She's still in there. Been in there, I think, 9 years. Tower and I talk to you about her all the time. She hasn't seen her kids or her husband. She's been there because that's what happened. The three women said that she blasphemed. And, of course, their court said, yeah, that's what she did. So she was facing a death penalty. They haven't killed her yet. I don't know what they're doing with her. We're praying for deliverance for her. But see, Revelation 12:11 tells us the way things go in the last days. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Further, in another scripture, it says, he that leads into captivity will go into captivity. This is the faith and the patience of the saints. And what that means is when once this thing starts going downhill, if you're led into captivity, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to stay there until they torture you to death, you die, or God comes back and gets you out of there. That's the faith and the patience of the saints. And that's revelation. That's some stuff that I call the marching orders you need to pay attention to. So John is talking about love, and what I've been talking about here is giving you examples on love and cost. See, God loves us. Thank God he does. You know, I know people that are pretty unlovable. You know, God, don't save them. You know, I mean, if you were God, you know, admit it, if you were God, you'd go around and do some justice. You know, I'm not going to let him live. I don't like him. Boom, he's dead. Or she's dead. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. That's human nature. But see, you got a God nature now. So God says, I love them. I want them to repent. I don't enjoy the death of the wicked. I want them to repent. All they have to do is repent, and I'll forgive them and give them the power to live for me. That's all they got to do. So tell them I love them. Well, in some portions of the country, they tell them that God loves them, and they do get saved. But others wind up getting killed. First John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now see, John, in the beginning, talks about the we factor. And that we factor was, in the beginning, our hands have handled the Word of Life. We've seen him, we've ate with him, you know. Everywhere he went, they were there with him. They saw him transfigured. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him put in in the grave. They saw him resurrected. And they saw him ascend to heaven. And they heard them say, this same Jesus that you have seen him go, shall so come in like manner. He was taken out of their sight by a cloud. He's going to come with the clouds, but with a vast army. And he will have, be on a white horse, signifying purity and power. He will have a two-edged sword representing the Word of God and the fact that he is the Word of God. He's the Word incarnate. And that's what it's about. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love, perfect love casteth out all fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now see, all of that love. Now see, that's what you need to understand. But see, a long time ago, I decided that I was going to face tomorrow by faith. And believe God. No matter what, when I woke up that day, I was going to choose to believe God, that whatever came my way, that he, our God and our Father through Christ, would grant us favor, and he would make a way for me and my family to overcome whatever comes against us. I open the door to tomorrow with faith, believing God will do that for me and my family. I don't care what the world does. And there's times that, you know, I don't like what's going on. It bothers me. I sit in the presence of the Lord and I say, Lord, cleanse my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit as I sit here and listen to your word, the washing of the water with the word. Let this word wash away and come into my spirit. Because my strength is in the Lord. See, we cannot fear. Pastors cannot fear. School teachers cannot fear. Fear is torment. Torment is as of the devil, and the devil is surely not perfect. And if you got fear in you, you got trouble. And you need to deal with that fear. And John puts it in here for a reason. I can tell you, there's a lot of people in the church that have fear. And there's a lot of people that are fearful because of their bills, because of their situation, because of their health, because of a lot of reasons. And even Christians in the Middle East, because of ISIS and other things, have gotten fear in their hearts. And rightly so, because of what happened. And see, we as creatures of Almighty God, His creation, we've got to deal with these things. This is weakness in the flesh. And we got to be resolute, as Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And that's, we stand by faith. We stand up and we will not accept fear. We are not going to fear these things. And then we sit in His presence and allow His perfect love to bathe us in faith and healing. Verse 19 of 4, he says, we love Him because He first loved us. Now that kind of sums up the others. I've read that, but I wanted to read it again because I want to go to verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And that's, I've thought on that verse a lot, and that is so true. See, when you talk about ISIS and the Muslim jihadists, they go around and kill and slaughter because they're following what they've been taught. But there's also in this agenda things that only a man would write. You can rape and pillage. You can get drunk. You can take over the heathen's house. You can take everything they got. You can take his wife. You can do with her what you want. You see, this is what ISIS did. There's no love there. Their God is love. No, he's not. Their God is hate. Now see, their word Allah is just a generic word for God. God is not known by a word or a name, although many in the Messianic believe he is. He's known by who he is. Moses asked him, who are you? And I'm not talking about I am that I am. Moses wanted God to reveal himself. And God revealed himself and said, I've got to protect you. You can see my hinder parts, but you can't see my face because no man hath seen me and lived. That's because men are not perfect. God is perfect and he's a fire. You will be consumed in his presence. You will not live if you're a sinner. You can only stand before God today through Christ, who has made you perfect through that atonement and the fact that you accepted it by faith. But see, there's a lot of hate in the world. And in America, we can get away. You know, we can try to convince ourselves that we've got all these denominations, and there's a lot of denominations in the world, but the fact remains. And I witnessed this because it was hard following that, because I was literally on the front lines from all this way away because of our technology. I could witness it as soon as it was done, and I had contacts all over there, people that I got information from. God, there was so much blood. I got tired of blood. I prayed, God, I can't stand any more blood. Please. We are such a bloody people, even in America. You know how many people die every year in this country? And then we hate like we do now? And you think America is going to survive on hate and division and bloodshed and murder? Ah. You know, what planet are you on anyway? As we used to say back in the 60s, what are you smoking? Whatever it is must be really good because you're really deluded. You know, God demonstrated his love, and that's why we need to love. And when you have this end times upon you, there is going to be paramount wickedness. But most of the people that follow it will follow it because they're deluded. And they will follow him who is making war against the believers and against Israel. And he will wage war with his tongue and miracles and signs and wonders and his false prophet and his armies. And when they are seeking after the Christians at that time and the believers, they do not care, just like ISIS didn't care. They didn't care whether you were Catholic, Coptic, Assyrian, Chaldean, Protestant, they didn't care. If you had any kind of a church with any kind of a cross and mentioned Jesus in any way, you're going to be a dead man or woman. Period. That's it. See, the devil doesn't differentiate in his enemies. You are either an enemy or not. See, while God shows love and mercy, he loves all men, and he wants the wicked to repent. But even Christ said in John 3, after verse 16, which everybody knows, he says they're not going to come to the light because they love darkness. And this is the darkness, and the power of darkness is on the planet. The spirit of lawlessness that's talking about in 2 Thessalonians is all over the world right now. And in America, it is absolutely entrenched, the spirit of lawlessness. The other spirit of natural affection, the loss of natural affection, immorality, fornication, perverseness, that's in America all over the place. Calling evil good and good evil, that is a product of where we're at today. So Christian, if you think that everything's going to be hunky-dory and you're going to go out in a pre-trib rapture before this thing goes down, you're nutty your fruitcake, but go ahead and believe it, because I'll be the first one to say that would be nice, because I'm ready to go. But I can't tell you that because scriptures don't point to that, and I don't care how many doctors of theology tell you that. I know. Doctors of theology taught me that too until God showed me. Needless to say, you believe what you want to believe. Do what you want to do. You're going to do it. Most important thing is to have love. But don't let doctrine make you hate your brother, because then you're in trouble. That doctrine that your church hangs on to, it can't violate the principle of Christ and his Father in our redemption. And John is trying to get through to the Christians here that you can all be believers, but you can't hate one another. They were in the Roman Empire. John spent his time telling them, you can't hate one another. You can't lust for each other's wife. Now see, the pastor that said, you know, forget the Old Testament, you know, you take the Ten Commandments. Paul even has the Ten Commandments in his teachings. I've taught on that. All the apostles, they just taught it through the New Testament covenant. Don't commit adultery. Dear God in heaven, we do worse than that. We're beyond the Ten Commandments now. I mean, when we talk at thou shalt nots, there's some thou shalt nots that I don't think Paul and the rest of the boys ever thought would happen. No sane man would want to do it, but leave it to America. Yeah, we're right there. Oh, we don't have no sin. Everything's fine and dandy. But God still says, I love them. I hate what they do. And their sin has come before me, and I'm going to judge their nation. And they need to repent. And if they don't repent, they will die. And you look in Revelation, you see those letters to Revelation. He openly tells those caught in certain cults, he says, I will kill Jezebel, and I will kill her children. I will put them through tribulation and I will kill them. Read Revelation. Wake up. He's not messing around. And as far as judgment goes, he says, tell the righteous that it shall be well with him, for he shall eat the fruit of his doings. That hasn't changed between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We do love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And we like to convince ourselves that we can do that, but you can't. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. It's kind of interesting when you look at it. You look at John. 1 John. And see, you begin at verse 7, he mentions love. And he mentions it in other places too. But see, he tells them in 1 John 4:4, you're of God and have overcome them. Because of he that is in the world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He goes on to say, we're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not of us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. But from that, then on, he's emphasizing this love. So although they're of God, they need to understand part of that is the love. Because see, God needs them to understand that. Now see, there are Muslims out there that truly love God and want to know the truth. And they've not been told the truth. And there are people in Muslim nations today that are losing their lives and their freedoms and their families, having given all to tell them God loves them. Last night, we talked about, Tower and I, about the pastors in China who signed a declaration to the communist government. And they were going to preach the word. They were not going to do what the government said. They had to obey their God first. They signed their names. 344 pastors that say, you keep your hands off our churches and off our people. We are going to preach. You need to understand that, you know, we don't want to overthrow you. But we're not afraid to die, and we're prepared to die for our faith. You know, and doing that story, it makes you think because it's a true story. What would we do in America? Really? Because all of us have independent churches all over the place. They all have their own doctrines. They're all convinced they're okay. And they're, a lot of them are very unbiblical. They have the Word of God, but they're still unbiblical. Are they saved? I have no idea. There's some of them don't even believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And there's others, just like this one, Pat. He's not the only one. There's been Christian churches in America throwing out the Old Testament for, I mean, it goes clear back to when I was in Bible school back in the 70s. When I was in the 70s, I was in the service. And, you know, there's things they were doing back then that was absolutely hard to believe. So, you know, while John is a little book, this little book is absolutely very, very important for you to let you know about what things are very important. You know, frankly, I hope we listen. I truly do. Because I think we spend a lot of time convincing ourselves that everything's going to be fine. And we know deep inside that we are not where we need to be. So tonight, my friend, I go through this to try to emphasize how, to you, how important it is, because the days are coming when you're going to need every bit of blessing and help in order just to survive. Now I pray, Father, in your judgment, remember mercy. I pray openly to the Father and ask him to give us more time. This don't have to happen on my watch. No. And I'm ready for him to come anytime. Because, frankly, there's parts of what's going on I don't like. I'd just as soon be under that, sitting by the river coming out of the throne of God, and the tree of life is right there. I'd like to be just sitting down on the ground right there with my back up against the tree of life, watching the water come out of the throne going right by me, and feeling the peace and the presence of God, and watching the joy on all the faces. Oh, that's where, hey, I'm not a glutton for punishment. That's where I want to be. Now, I don't know where you want to be, but I'm sure you don't want to be what's coming. You got to trust in God. Let us love. Let us have compassion. And let us forgive one another. That's what we need to do. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for those who have heard. Lord, let them know your love, your presence. Forgive them, Lord. It's been tough. Life can be tough, Father, and we can be hard of hearing and many other things. That doesn't mean everybody's that way, but there's enough of us out there that, Lord, we need you. That's the kingdom we want. When Christ was asked if he was a king, He says, my kingdom is not of this world, because if it was, my servants would fight for me. To that, the words were heard, then you are a king. And he said, thou saidest. Yeah, Pilate knew. He says, I find no fault in him. Father, forgive us. Empower us, cleanse us, guide us. May we bring in the sheaves, the fruit, the wheat, for your glory, and lay them at thy feet, O God. And in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word, in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, well, that's something we all can work on more.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's room for more than me by that tree.
No, I mean, loving one another.
I meant there's going to be a place for you there.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad, because I look forward to that. I just hate the evil. And I've said this before. We look more and more forward to it as the days of evil get worse and darker.
You know, I think that's why the days of evil come, to make sure we don't love the world so much we forgot about going home to him.
That's right. God forbid.
Yeah, well, you know, before anything good comes, there's always a cost.
That's true.
You know, and you know, the devil ain't done. He's got a lot of stuff yet he knows he can do. The power of darkness is going to come. Christ even talked about it. And he talked about the night that's going to come when no man can work. That's coming. Prepare your house, folks. We got
to
go.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar. For Peter's Second Epistle to the Elect, Part 2. Good night, everybody. We love you, we pray for you, and we thank you for all you do for the King of Kings.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.